Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The shrunken Braniff Airlines fleet is grounded this morning, sporting a for sale sign. Scott Pelley reports.
Braniff has been flying under bankruptcy protection for 6 weeks. Last night, the carrier announced it was forced to halt operations in order to conserve what was left of the company. In September, Braniff laid off almost 3,000 employees and drastically reduced its route schedule. In recent days, the airline has been flying to 11 cities with only 12 airplanes. Passengers holding Braniff tickets are being advised to present them to other airlines who may or may not choose to honor them. Braniff will continue to run a charter operation while management entertains offers to sell the company. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Dallas.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry again denies allegations of crack cocaine use. The latest charges from former associate Charles Lewis, who as part of a plea bargain deal, testified that he sold crack to Barry more than once. The mayor said he's lying.
When you are a convicted felon and you face 16 counts, seven of them perjury, you're allowing your mama, allowing your preacher, allowing the Pope, allowing anybody.
Allowing the mayor?
Allowing the mayor, of course.
The Washington Post reported yesterday there are witnesses to corroborate Lewis's testimony. Kitty Dukakis, wife of the Massachusetts governor and former Democratic presidential candidate, was rushed from her Brookline home to a hospital last night. This morning, the governor's spokesman, Mindy Luber, said there's no apparent connection with Mrs. Dukakis's past drug and alcohol problem.
Kitty is doing fine, we understand, resting well. She was brought in last night feeling lethargic and fluish. She has been suffering from a flu for 3 or 4 days.
Mrs. Dukakis's hospitalization comes almost a year to the day after her husband lost the election to George Bush. It's Election Day 1989. After a nasty campaign, a New Jersey congressman named Jim will be elected governor. Democrat Florio led Republican Corder in Election Eve polls. Virginia Democrat Doug Wilder, seeking to become the nation's first elected black governor, is favored over Republican Marshall Coleman. Rob Armstrong reports.
While the key issue of the campaign has been abortion, neither man was talking much about that in the campaign's final hours. Wilder addressed a rally on the steps of the state capitol.
We want to continue Virginia's progress. We want the commitments to the future. We want our young people to know that their future is theirs.
Coleman spoke to reporters in Northern Virginia.
The message that I have brought to Northern Virginia and the rest of the state about my devotion to child care, to quality education for all Virginians, to protecting the environment, and importantly, to holding the line on taxes, is one that has penetrated all the fog and confusion in this campaign.
The Republicans have pulled out all the stops for Coleman. President Bush campaigned personally for him last week, but a top Coleman aide said privately that the whole thing today boils down to which side does a better job of turning out the vote. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Richmond.
New York City voters are deciding whether to make Democrat David Dinkins their first black mayor.
I make you this one simple promise. You've given me your trust, and I'll never let you down. I thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Dinkins was tagged with past tax transgressions, and former prosecutor Rudolph Giuliani, the Republican, hammered away to the end.
He is less than candid. He hides. He evades. You finally confront him with it. He hides, evades, and misrepresents.
In other mayoral races, two black Democrats, Cleveland Council President George Forbes and State Senator Mike White, face each other in a nonpartisan runoff. Four-term Detroit Mayor Coleman Young is favored over accountant Tom Barrow. Seattle City Attorney Doug Jewett, a Republican, is up against Councilman Norm Rice, a black Democrat. Houston Mayor Kathy Whitmire faces Fred Hoffines as she seeks her fifth term. Also in Houston, 11 candidates are vying to replace Congressman Mickey Leland, the Democrat killed last summer in an airplane crash in Ethiopia. Voters in Concord, California are deciding whether to repeal an ordinance protecting the rights of AIDS victims. And in another community, as KNX newsman Mike Landa reports, gay rights could be scaled back.
Should homosexuals be excluded from a human rights ordinance? That's the issue facing voters in the city of Irvine, a community of upscale homes and high-tech industry 45 miles southeast of Los Angeles. Michael Shea says endorsing the gay lifestyle is contrary to family values.
We don't want to have our children exposed to a gay pride parade where transvestites dress up in bikini underwear and bras.
Irvine Mayor Larry Agran says Shea wants to set a terrible precedent.
If Measure N were to pass, the next groups would likely be blacks, women, Jews, Asian Americans. There's no stopping this kind of thing.
Irvine's human rights ordinance has been on the books for 1 year. Mike Landa for CBS News, Irvine, California.
Americans take voting for granted. In places like Namibia, it's a brand new experience. Richard Wagner reports on the start of pre-independence elections.
The long-awaited election got off to a somewhat tardy start this morning. Thousands of voters lined up at polling places for a scheduled 7 a.m. opening, but bureaucratic hitches delayed the voting for about half an hour at some polling places. Once begun, however, the voting proceeded smoothly. The election, scheduled to last for 5 days, will choose the delegates who'll frame Namibia's first constitution. After more than 100 years of colonial rule, today Namibians of all races are eligible to participate in the process which will see Africa's last colony become the continent's newest independent nation. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Windhoek.
The Boeing company reportedly has agreed to plead guilty to 2 felony charges of illegally obtaining classified Pentagon planning documents. The New York Times reports that plea could bar the aerospace giant from future government contracts. From atop Lenin's tomb, Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev reviewed the big Revolution Day parade in Moscow today. But as Peter Van Zandt reports, the real story was elsewhere.
While tanks rolled through Red Square, thousands of people took to the streets, demonstrating against corruption and the slow pace of Gorbachev's reforms. There were many voices calling for change.
I demonstrate against our government and against the role of Communist Party in our country.
We are demonstrating because we want freedom of choice in our country.
At one time during the demonstration, the marchers carried their messages of protest past a giant billboard of Lenin, the father of the communist revolution. It was a sight that would have been unthinkable 1 year ago and an indication of the new freedoms and tolerance Gorbachev has allowed the Soviet people. Peter Van Sant, CBS News, Moscow.
As East Germany's 21-member Politburo meets today, the flood of East Germans reaching West Germany through Czechoslovakia has grown to 200 an hour. Last night, some 700,000 people demonstrated for democratic reforms. Against this background, West German television reports speculation that the entire East German government is about to resign. The U.S. is returning $567 million in frozen assets to Iran, but officials say this action is unrelated to the plight of 8 American hostages in Lebanon. The Treasury Department today postponed $40 billion in borrowing auctions this week because of congressional failure to raise the debt limit. House Speaker Foley said yesterday he hopes a new debt ceiling can be passed in time for President Bush to sign it tomorrow. The dollar is lower overseas. Gold prices are up over $5 in London. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 8.40 at 2573.77. The time, 10 past 7.